Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/truetransparencypricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
We're joined now, a little bonus time, with our friend Jimmy Himes from Sports Radio WNML. He thought he was done with us for a while. Not so fast, my friend. Jimmy, how are you doing this morning?
Yeah, I thought you were done with me.
Yeah, that works both ways, doesn't it?
If you have me on every time there's a UT controversy, we'll talk next week.
Yeah, we might as well just go ahead and schedule a weekly visit. Jimmy, the Beverly Davenport demotion all came down yesterday. We saw all the details of it and the letter and everything else. How do you feel like the coaching search part of it played into this move that was made?
Oh, I think that was huge. I think that was a big part of it. It was an embarrassment for pretty much everybody involved over there with that search, whether it was John Curry, Davenport. I think DiPietro was embarrassed by it. I think the Board of Trustees was embarrassed by it a little bit. So I think that was certainly a factor. So what you end up doing is you fire the guy that you hired as athletic director, all right? And then you had other issues with folks in regard to outsourcing and things like that. And, God, that scathing letter about her lack of leadership and inability to get along with people. She refused the idea of having coaching to help her. It was pretty strong. But I do think the coaching search was probably the number one obstacle or concern that led to her ouster.
And then there's the element of, and this is the question I have, is one I think a lot of people had. If communication was such a big problem, how does she now move into a role as a communications professor?
Part of her contract. Her contract said that if she were to be terminated as a chancellor, that she would move into that role in the faculty. I think that's what led to that. So it was part of the contract rather than just an outright firing. Although she was put on administrative leave until the end of June.
Well, Jimmy, I guess who's in line next to be the chancellor then? Do you think they have already somebody in mind, or is this going to be vacant for a little bit? Where do you think they're going to go from here?
Good question. I've asked several people that. I don't have any names of somebody that looks like they would jump right in and do that. I don't know. I will say this, Blaine. I think this might be the case. I think they will. I don't think DiPietro is going to hire a permanent chancellor. I think he's going to hire an interim, and he's going to be serving for another year. All right. So in his situation, serving for another year, then they're going to have to hire his replacement. Then his replacement is going to then have to hire the chancellor. I believe that's the way it's going to happen. So my point is, don't be surprised if the interim chancellor is in place for 18 to 24 months. I think it might be that long before they hire somebody else on a permanent basis. Mm.
Where was Phil Farmer on this, I guess, in this role? Or does he have any part of, Davenport being, demoted?
I think he was surprised. I don't think he saw it coming. That's my guess. But I don't know. I haven't talked to Philip Palmer. I don't think he had a role in her situation of being fired. I don't. But I also think this. I think that he will now he has a good relationship with Dr. Joe DiPietro. He served as an advisor to the president for a while. And so I think they will leave him alone to run the department. I've heard some people say, oh, this could be bad news for Philip Fulmer. I don't think so at all.
You think he could be the chancellor even?
No.
I mean,
no,
temporarily.
No.
I'm talking about temporarily on that time, so they don't have to bring somebody else in. Okay, gotcha.
No. Why in the world would he want that headache? I mean, he's got a big enough headache being the athletic director. So, no, I don't see him being the chancellor. I don't think he wants it. I think his role is he knows sports. He knows football. He knows athletics. He doesn't know anything about running a school and being a chancellor, I wouldn't think.
Jimmy, how much of this is a power grab by the Haslams?
I don't know. I will tell you this, and I got asked this by somebody yesterday. Was I surprised? I was surprised by the timing. I was not surprised by the fact that she was fired as a chancellor, because I had been hearing rumblings of that for several weeks. I had been led to believe that there were some issues with her. I know that she bucked the Haslams on a couple of things, but including the firing of Curry. But I don't know how much of that was involved with the Haslams. That would be speculation on my part. But I am not surprised this move occurred, because I had been told a while back that this would likely happen. I just didn't know the timing of it.
What do you think John Curry thinks of this?
Well, I guess he's laughing all the way to the bank. I think he looks and says, you know what, it's probably good that I'm out of there, because that is a dysfunctional family. That's a dysfunctional university. My goodness, look at all the chancellors they've had. I think I counted 7 chancellors since around 2000, since Joe Johnson stepped down. What they need to do is clone Joe Johnson and bring that guy back as a chancellor. But I think there have been 7 of them, from Wade Gilley to Shoemaker to Joe Johnson on an interim basis. I mean, they have gone through, and Peterson, they've had a lot of chancellors over there. And so to your question about Curry, I think he's, you know what, he's probably thinking it's good that I got out of that situation, because that place is a mess.
You think, you know, through the years, the instability in the upper reaches at the University of Tennessee have had a lot to do with why a lot of quality coaches haven't wanted to come there?
I'm not sure. As I go back, I don't know. I don't know if that's necessarily the case. That you would think that's probable. But if I go by him individually, the first person offered the job under Mike Hamilton was Lane Kiffin. He took it, so that wasn't the issue. I think the Derek Dooley situation, they did have a number of people that that turned it down, and that one might have been a pretty good case right there. Although, I think the situation with Dooley was the timing. So Kiffin leaves in, what, January 9th or 10th, whatever it was. I think the timing messed up that search. After Dooley, you go for Butch Jones. That might have been, if you wanted to point to one where they had trouble, that would be the one that I think when that hire occurred of Butch Jones, because there were a number of coaches that did turn it down. When you came back to this one under John Curry, that was just a cluster. That was just so messed up. I don't know. You know, one of the things that hurt him in that search was there were so many other good jobs out there, whether it was UCLA, whether it was Florida. There were some really good jobs out there, Texas A&M, and Tennessee was not perceived to be the plum job that a lot of other people think it is.
He broke the story yesterday. Jimmy Himes, Sports Radio WNML in Knoxville. Jimmy, thanks so much. I'm sure we'll talk to you soon.
yeah, I think you're probably right. You guys have a good day.